Morning. Okay, it's our turn for Father Abraham. They look like they was excited doing it. And I think we need to be just as excited as they are. You know, it's exciting to be able to come in the house of the Lord on Sundays. And we should be excited about those times. You know, you do get, how many believe the songs we was just singing? Is he our great I am? Is he? No fear can come against us. No power, no ruler, no darkness. We have to believe what we was just singing. Because there's meaning behind that. It's just not a song. It has to come from within us. I tell you, sometimes we go through things. We face things all week long. We get beat up a little bit. But we don't need to use church as a band-aid station. Or a hospital. You know, like you're dealing with stuff all week long. And you're like, man, we're Sunday. We'll hurry up and get here. And it's only Monday. Raise your hallelujah. In the midst of your enemies. Amen. He's so good to us. He's so good to us. And I thank him for this opportunity. I thank him for everything that he's doing in our hearts, in our lives, in our community, and in our church. We're going to start again on these understanding the words of Jesus. And I just want to read. Oh, let me keep forgetting. Turn the air up, and I'm still sweating a little bit. And I did turn it up, too. It's hot up here, in case y'all don't know. Try it. I dare y'all. We are understanding the words of Jesus. I'm so glad that he worked out every detail of our lives to be here. You think you just woke up this morning and said, I'm going to go to church this morning? No, he's moving inside you. Just yield to that. Yield to his spirit. Let him do what he wants to do in your life. You don't just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to go to church this morning. No, he's dealing. Let's read John 6:63. It says, it is the spirit that quickened, the flesh profited nothing. And this is Yeshua. This is our rabbi speaking. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we see that throughout this whole teaching. His words that he speaks are spirit and it is life. Christ reads in the synagogue at Nazareth, eludes angry hearers, and begins to preach repentance. Nazareth and Capernaum, and that's Luke 4:14 through 31. Mark 1:14 through 15, and Matthew 2:12 through 17. Luke 4:14 through 31. And Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And notice this, if you read it, if you go up early in the chapter, you see this is right after he'd been tempted in the wilderness. You know, he with the word, he defeated any thoughts, any ideas that the enemy was throwing at him. He went back to the word and he cast it down. So he returned back into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And just remember that, and I'm going to point that out as we go down a little further. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on that day, on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And, you know, that was like I said, part of his custom. It's something he did. And it was common practice back then for seven men to stand up and read. And five of them out of the seven was local. So you could imagine that Yeshua had ample amount of times to share the gospel message. Because he was part of that community. He was from Nazareth. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, which is Elijah. not ill. I had it written. I just got a blank. The prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set as liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yahweh. Wow. What a passage to read. But remember, what he came in? He came in the power. Isaiah, that was it. The book of Isaiah, this is where he got it from. This is what they handed to him, 61, 1 through 2. The Spirit of my sovereign Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance to our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn. Any of us was brokenhearted before? Any of us was captive? I was captive. Big time. It had me. And to open the prison to them that are bound. And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And his eye and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You could imagine. Now, this was probably hundreds of people listening. And all of a sudden, he read what he read, and boom, they just all stared, that dead stare. They wasn't smiling. Because you're going to see as we go along, the carpenter's son, ain't this Mary and Joseph, the carpenter's son? Who do you think he is reading? He came to preach all these wonderful things, to set captives free. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture. After they looking at him, after they getting him this stare down, and he ain't blinking, he tells them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Remember, he came in that power. It says the angels ministered to him after he being tempted for 40 days. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. How can a carpenter's son be speaking these words? How can he be saying that? These gracious words. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Look, he was from this community. So there was a spirit there, familiarity. It was familiar with him. There's no way he should be speaking like that. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, mean this parable, physicians heal themselves. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. They was telling him, we don't believe the deeds that they're saying about you. Show us. Unless you do something in this right here, right now, we're not believing what you're saying. We're not going to believe the deeds, what you're saying. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. That is Elijah. In the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But none of them was Elias sent, save unto a Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisus the prophet, that was Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, saying Naaman the Syrian. Now I want you to notice something. These two people that he pointed out, they were pagans. Naaman was a pagan, and so was the widow in this place, because that was a pagan town that he went to. It says they was filled with wicked adultery. Their main god was Baal. A pagan city believed the word of his ministry, the watchword of his ministry. That's for another time. But let's look at in 2 Kings 5:16. Let's look at what he's talking about with Naaman. You know, this Naaman story is, I don't know if you ever read it. You can go back and read it. It is powerful, very powerful. He told him to go to the Jordan and dip. Not one time, not two times. He gave him specific 7 times you got to do it. And he was like, man, I got a river close right here by my house. Why I got to go way to the Jordan to do it? But he did it. He did it anyway. Now, this was a pagan. This was a pagan guy. And he was a commander of the Syrian army. 2 Kings 5:16. I just want to point out one verse. You can go back and read that chapter 5 if you want. Let's go to verse 15. And he returned to the man of Elohim, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth, but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. This was after he went and did what he was supposed to do, went to the Jordan, dipped 7 times. He had leprosy. So he went and did what he was supposed to do. And this is the pagan guy right here. This is why he made these 2 references to his people, his own people in Nazareth. He said, we can take pagan people, go in their countries, and they'll believe the word that Yahweh is telling them to do. But yet, y'all won't believe nothing he's saying. And in verse 16, he says, but he said, as Yahweh liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Verse 17, and Naaman says, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other mighty ones, but unto Yahweh. So he knew it was that Baal God that I was worshiping. He couldn't have done this. He couldn't have cleansed my leprosy. It had to have come from the only Elohim in the earth. And in 2 Kings 17, verse 24. This is the widow. This is her son was sick. It said no breath was in him. But just the one verse I want to point out, because this is her statement. And I hope I'm in the right. And I'm not. I wrote the wrong scripture down. And I'm going to have to tell y'all Saturday. Because I did write the wrong scripture. 1 Kings 17:24. Yes, right there. Thank you so much. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art the man of Elohim, and that the word of Yahweh in thy mouth is true. A pagan woman. A pagan woman. So I just wanted to point those 2 things out because he mentioned it, and I wanted to go find it and show y'all what how he can take a pagan worship, people that all they knew was Baal, and make them believe once he healed them that the Father that would only come from God, the one Elohim. Verse 28. Thank you again who found it. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They was mad. How can you talk? How can you be talking about these pagan people here in our town? We're the Nazarenes. What are you talking about? But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Mark 1:14-15. Now after that, John was put into prison. Yeshua came unto Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom of Elohim, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent ye and believe the good news. Listen to, and he's making reference to what his forerunner John had said. But notice, John was saying, repent ye for the remission of sins. Here he comes along and he's saying, repent ye and believe the good news. I wonder why, because they had a hard time believing the good news. And that believe, that's the watchword of his ministry. You see him say it over and over and over again. Repent and believe the good news. Matthew 4:12-17. Now when Yeshua had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. So he didn't start his ministry till John got thrown into prison. When John got thrown in prison, he began his ministry. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Listen, darkness? John just got thrown into prison. He was our preacher. He was the one we was following. And now what we have? So fear, I'm assuming fear probably fell upon him. This old great John, this forerunner who we knew that was going to be the forerunner. But light has sprung up. Why? From that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There came that light. Yeshua walked on the scene and said, boom, here I am. Repent, believe the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. By the sea, Christ chooses the four. The cure in the synagogue, solitary prayer in the next towns round about Galilee. These are short, so I think we might get to do two or three of them. I'm not sure. I like to try to get to the Beatitudes. I'm just going to read the Beatitudes, but then we're going to hit it hard Saturday and Sunday because there's so much to explain about the Beatitudes. And it's a lot. You got 48 verses of him just speaking of blessed, 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 blessed. So I'm going to get to, of course, because there's no way. I mean, you know me. Okay, age 31, Galilee, Capernaum, Mark 1:16-26, Luke 4:31-44, and Matthew 4:18-25. Mark 1:16-26. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Our fishermen over here is going to like this story. We got some good fishermen in here, amen? Some awesome fishermen. That not only are they fishermen for their occupation, but they are fishermen of men also. And that is a blessing. That's an honor. And Yeshua said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. So there was a process. He called fishermen because he knew that they would understand that he's going to make them fishermen of men. But it's something that he had to show them how to do. They didn't know how to be fishermen of men. He had to show them. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Listen, they left their father. And that's what he's asking us to do. Leave your father and your mother. Follow me. Surrender your all to me. Give me your all. Let me take care of the rest. And that's what they did. They obeyed. Obedience. That's the first thing they did. They obeyed. He said, follow me. They left. It was, you know, no, well, I don't know. You know, I want to, let me help my dad. No. It said immediately they followed him. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe. I guess he did. You talking about the man that was just tempted for 40 days and then angels ministered to him. And here he is stepping on the scene. It says with the power and authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. He's about to demonstrate this power and this authority right here. Saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Yeshua of Nazareth? They even knew his name. Art thou come to destroy us? Not today. But they knew the day is coming. They just didn't ask this question just because, I mean, that's the only thing they could probably think about to ask him. They knew that he's coming to destroy them one day. Is this the day? Is this the day you coming to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Elohim. The demons knew who he was, and his own people didn't know. The demons knew who he was. And Yeshua rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Luke 4:31-44. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. That's why they was astonished. They felt it. Can you imagine sitting in his presence, the Son of the Most High, and when he speaks, the power and authority that is in his word? I can't wait to that day that we get to sit in his presence and feel that. That's going to be awesome. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Yeshua of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of Elohim. And Yeshua rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Hold thy peace. You're going to come out of him and you're not going to hurt him, not one hair on his body. He ain't coming out and without a bruise on him. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. They never seen that. They never seen that just by the words that the unclean spirit just comes out of them. They were amazed by that. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country around about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto him. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. I want you to notice his compassion for the people. He could have lined them up, and he could have just spoke a word and all of them would have been healed. But he took his time, and he said he went and laid his hands on every last one of them. And the same thing that he does for us today. He lays his hands on every last one of us. Just to show that I'm for you. I love you. I appreciate you. I want you to serve me. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had... I read that, huh? Okay. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Messiah, the Son of Yahweh. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Messiah. They bore witness to the divine sonship of Yeshua. They knew who he was. They knew he was the Son of the Most High. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. They didn't want him to leave. So all day and all night, he was delivering people, healing people. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of Yahweh to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He's telling them, this is my divine mission. I was sent to do that. I was sent. I have to go preach the kingdom to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. My divine mission, I am sent to do that. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Matthew 4:18 through 25. And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going out from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. All manner of sickness and disease. There's no sickness or no disease that he couldn't heal. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. We got some lunatic people today that need to be healed. And those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Multitudes of people was following for what he was doing. The Sermon on the Mountain, the Beatitudes, Admonitions, Precepts, near Capernaum, Matthew 5:1-48. And I'm just going to read it, then we're going to tackle this Saturday, because there's a lot. And you're going to see when we get on this Saturday how important and how significant these Beatitudes were. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted. Persecuted. For righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Got to go through some persecution. Our forefathers before us persecuted. They went through it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What? That's being blessed? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. You blessed? Let them talk. Let them call your names. It's okay. Let them accuse you for falsely going back to the Torah and telling you you're crazy for celebrating biblical holidays. That's what he's saying. For men of saying evil against you falsely. I don't know if anybody ever told y'all, but man, they said the devil must be in us over here. That's what they say. That's what people are saying. That's what they're saying. The devil's in them. You talk about misquoting scripture. But he says, you're blessed. Let them talk. You're blessed. Thank you, Father. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savior, wherewith shall it be salted? Savor. Thank you. I got so much. See, y'all can do this. I'm telling you. Y'all ready. It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. See, God knows I'm going to need that woman one day. She's got my back. She's always telling me she's my biggest fan, and I believe her, I really do. But to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. We are the light of the world. We are the light of our community. We are the light of our parish. Some of us are the light of Homer. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that as just kind of glancing, seeing y'all. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, be that light, because that's what glorifies the Father in heaven. Be that light. Do your good works. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And they're talking about unhitch from the law? Are you serious? Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called. It was great, I'm assuming. Because it's been cut off. Verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in the danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. Therefore, if thou bringest thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest, this leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verse 26, verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the othermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed. You see the importance of these Beatitudes? He's setting some things in order right here. He's straightening some things out. And if thine right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into Gehenna. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members. Boy, I tell you, I done cut a. I'm so glad we're going to go back over this Saturday. Because I got to fix this. And he had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Again, ye have heard that it had been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto Yahweh thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Yahweh's throne. Swear not at all, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If ye heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whatsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And we talked about this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And we're going to explain it. That's why I just wanted to read it and get y'all thinking about it. And we'll come back and we'll explain verse by verse what that don't mean what people took it to mean. It don't mean you did me wrong, I take my eye, take your eye. That don't mean that. Pull your tooth out, pull my tooth out. Nah, that's not what he's saying. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That's a hard one. Let him have your cloak also. He's already suing me and I got to give him something? And whatsoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. You know, you hear that little saying, you give somebody an inch, they're taking a mile. Here he is telling you, give him a mile. Give him an extra mile. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the easy one. But I say unto you, until he says verse 44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Pray for them. Love your enemies? Yes, sir. Talk about obedience. Talk about trusting him. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The sun don't just rise on the good people. It rises on all of them. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? That's easy, to love somebody that loves you. What about the ones that talks about you? What about the ones that says evil things about you? What about the ones that curses you? Love them. That's what he did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world. For God so loved the world. That means everybody. Even though he knew that they was going to curse him, and even though he knew that they was not going to believe him, believe in his ministry, he still died for them. And he showed on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Love them. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be ye perfect. So you seen the Beatitudes. You seen, this is Yeshua speaking. These are his words. And remember, the words that I speak, they're not my words. And they are spirit and they are life. So that's all I have for today. I'm excited about Saturday and Sunday that's going to be coming, that we're going to be tackling this Beatitude. But I'm also super excited because Pastor's going to be back. I am real excited. I talked to him yesterday evening, and he said to tell everybody that he loved them and that he misses y'all. And I could have cried and told him how much I miss you. Hurry back. I don't know. I think I might miss him more than Hannah and Philip. I don't know, y'all. It might be. But they're traveling back today. He said it was just, they had a wonderful time. He said vacation was over a couple of weeks ago for them. So that means he was studying. Listen, I'm going to tell you. I called him to ask him one question about a scripture. We talked for over an hour. Let me rephrase that. He talked for over an hour. Then he tells me, he says, I guess you can tell I ain't been behind the pulpit in a long time. Huh? I said, yeah, it's all good, though. Over an hour. You asked him a question, it was over an hour. But I love the time that I get to talk with him and just to share his knowledge with me. It's so wonderful. But he wants y'all to know that he missed y'all and they're coming home today. They're traveling. They're making their way back. They'll be home. I really thought he was going to pop in this morning because, you know, that's what he does. That's what they do. He did that last Sunday. I mean, oh, wow. Last year on us, he popped in just, surprise, I'm here. Goma Power, surprise, surprise. Well, I just love y'all and appreciate y'all. I thank y'all so much for coming out today. And let's get excited about coming into his house and worshiping him. We don't have to stay beat up all week long. We can take the word and apply it to our life, and we can defeat him. This don't have to be a Band-Aid station or a hospital. This should be a place where we get to come here and enjoy the atmosphere with our brothers and sisters, and just bring everything that we've been going through all week long, praise-wise, and just bring it together. And just, man, it would be an awesome time. Awesome. So any prayer requests?